Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I do bring you the greetings of Shalom Church, Singapore. Our pastor has advised me that the theme for Hope Bible Presbyterian Church this year is Thanksgiving. And I thank God for the privilege of bringing a message this morning on this particular topic. I believe it is especially appropriate that we should be giving attention to this theme since we are coming to the end of 2024. Psalm 100 and verse 4, let me read that for you once more. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Now this was addressed to the Old Testament believers, calling them to come into the presence of God, calling them to come into God's presence with thanksgiving. The call remains valid, it remains applicable to New Testament believers today. We are similarly called upon to draw near to God and to give thanks. So give thanks. That is the title for the sermon this morning. And concerning give thanks, I have four things to draw to your attention this morning. Give thanks, it is commanded. Give thanks, it is good. Give thanks, it is missing. Give thanks, it is not enough. So are you ready? Let's start. Give thanks, it is commanded. Now we can turn to several New Testament passages. The sermon outline has listed three for you. I'm just going to read one of them, taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to verse 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Place your magnifying glass over the two English words, give thanks. Now in the Greek original, I was told it was only one single word. The word is a verb. It is active. It is present. And it is imperative. What you say, what does that mean? Well, it means that it is something to do. It means that it is something you do. It means that it is something that you do now and keep doing. And it means that it is something that you are commanded to do. Yes, you have heard it correctly. As New Testament believers, we are commanded to give thanks. And I'm sure we all know that when a command is given, a good soldier is meant to obey it. We are commanded to give thanks, and therefore failure to give thanks would mean that we have fallen short of the glory of God, would mean that we have missed the mark, would mean that we have sinned. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have we failed to do what God has commanded? Have we sinned? Do we need to pause at this very moment and to repent of our sins right here and right now? But do remember that there is always forgiveness of sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. So even right now, as we turn to Christ and seek his forgiveness, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Give thanks. It is good. Now, when we give thanks with our lips, it would normally mean that there is gratitude in our hearts. Now, secular writers have acknowledged that gratitude fosters psychological and physical health. We don't dismiss their reports, we don't put away their studies. In fact, we should be thankful for them because they are God's common grace. And our Bible says the same, but much more. Well, let me read for you Psalm 92, verse 1. I think it is in the sermon outline. It is good, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is not just right to give thanks. It is good to give thanks to God. Well, let me give you three examples as to how it is good. Number one, thanksgiving gives us joy. You may have memorized Philippians 4, 4-7. If not, I'm going to read it for you right now. Philippians chapter 4, 4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 6 mentions thanksgiving. Using the analogy of a tree, if thanksgiving is the branch, gratitude would be the root of this tree. So if you find a branch, which is thanksgiving, you will normally find a root, which is gratitude. Now, can you locate the word rejoice in verse 4? I'm sure you can, but what is the link between thanksgiving and rejoice? When you have the branch called thanksgiving, you are likely to find fruits on this branch, and the fruit is called joy. Are you a joyful person? You are likely to be a grateful person. Do you want to be a joyful and a grateful person? Most of us will find a joyful and a grateful person to be rather attractive, wouldn't you agree? The opposite, of course, is a grumpy and a toxic fault finder. Well, here is a special word I preach to myself, Mr. Wei Yen Yi, and to those of you who are around my age. As we grow older, we have a tendency to be a little bit more grumpy and to be a champion fault finder. Our favorite phrase will be TSK, TSK. I don't do it this way in my time. Nowadays, the younger generation. We develop a body odor that we are not aware of. And as a result, people keep their distance from us. The young people shun us, which makes us even more bitter. The young people nowadays never come and greet me, you know. Are you that grumpy old person? Are you that toxic fault finder, my dear peers and seniors? You see, all of us, never mind our age, we do give off some smell. But it could be the refreshing aroma of gratitude or the very stale stench of grumbling. What is your smell this morning? Given a choice, we all want to be attractive people. And it is no secret that a grateful and a thankful person is attractive. And it's never too old, praise the Lord. It's never too old to learn. To learn to be thankful. Replace toxicity in our life with thankfulness. Learn to look for things to give thanks. Learn to look for things in the life of young people not to TSK, to our kopikaki, but to give thanks to God. I thank God for this young person, for this quality and this character that he has or she has. And to be realistic, there will be 99 things that are not doing very well for them, because they are young people. But look for that one thing to give thanks and encourage them. Because when we were their age, there are probably 999 things that are not right with us. Choose to be grateful rather than to be grumpy. Choose to be thankful rather than to be toxic. It is good. It is good to give thanks because it brings us joy. It is good to give thanks. How is it good? Number two, thanksgiving gives us peace. Well, come back to Philippians chapter 4, if you can, and zero in on verses 6 and 7. Start with the word thanksgiving in verse 6. When we say thank you, what moved? Our lips moved. What else moved? Besides our lips, our eyes also moved. Because our eyes begin to move from our situation to our God. And as we look at our God, we are reminded that He's still good, that He's still in control, that He's still with us. And when we see these truths, and when we remind ourselves of these truths, we have peace, the peace of God. And so God's peace entered our hearts. Verse 7, as God's praise leaves our mouths. Verse 6, it is good to give thanks. How is it good? Number 3, thanksgiving makes us shine. I'm sure you realize that people are a lot more cranky nowadays. You turn on the television, you scan social media, you will encounter a choir of voices that are found fighting, disputing, criticizing and complaining. Well, it seems to me that people today are bent on looking for something to be negative about. Now, hear the words of Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Let me read it for you. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Yes, I know that the word thanksgiving is not found in these two verses, but the reverse of thanksgiving is found there, am I right? Complaining and disputing. And the world is full of these things. But what if the Christian doesn't complain? What if the Christian in the office refuses to dispute? What if the Christian in the school chooses to do the very opposite? Guess what will happen? Well, we begin to shine as lights in this crooked and perverse world. People begin to realize that we are different. And it gives us the opportunity, as Peter says in 1 Peter, the opportunity whereby the world may start to ask us for a reason for our conduct. And hopefully when they ask, why are you such a thankful person? Hopefully your answer is not, because by nature I'm like that. Hopefully that is the opportunity for you to tell them, because of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life is meant to point to Christ. But we can't be pointing to Christ if we are toxic people, because they will think that Christ is toxic. But we point to Christ by being thankful, by being so grateful for things. And we point them to Jesus Christ. Now we can scan through the Bible and find many more reasons how is it that it is good to give thanks. But I'm going to leave it to you to do that this afternoon. I trust that the three reasons given above are sufficient to urge you and to encourage you to give your fullest attention to thanksgiving. I come now to my third heading for this morning. Give thanks. It is missing. Well, more than 60 years ago, A.W. Tozer said that worship is the missing jewel in the evangelical church. And we all know that thanksgiving is part of worship. Have we found the jewel yet? Well, look back to our lives this past week. Besides a very quick thank you, Lord, for this food, what else did we give thanks for? Think back to our worship service for the past month. How many hymns of gratitude and how many prayers of thanksgiving have we offered? Now, thanksgiving is largely missing in our lives because of what I call ACE. A stands for amnesia. Amnesia means memory loss. But I'm not talking about physical memory losses. I'm talking about spiritual forgetfulness. And let's be honest, my dear fellow pilgrims, we are all guilty here. We tend to forget spiritual blessings. And that is one reason why Psalm 103 verse 2 says this to you and to me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Our tendency is to forget. But yet memory is so crucial to thanksgiving. And so the psalmist goes one step further to help us here. In the next few verses, he's going to list down for us explicitly God's benefits towards us. As it were, if you can imagine in your mind, the psalmist puts an ice cream cone in our hands. And then he puts the first scoop of ice cream on it. It's called forgiveness. And then he puts the second scoop of ice cream on it. It's called diseases healed. And he put the third scoop of ice cream on it. It's called life redeemed. And he puts the fourth scoop of ice cream on it. It's called mouth satisfied. Is that all? No. He's going to put chocolate chips and a cherry on top of it. It's called God's loving kindness and tender mercies. You see the ice cream? Why not take a selfie? And then say thank you. And enjoy your ice cream. You see, memory is crucial to thanksgiving. You need to remember. But you ask me, how can we remember? Well, here is my suggestion. Slow down. If you rush from event A to event B to event C to event D, then you will not see what you need to see. But unless you begin to see with your eyes, you will not give thanks with your mouth. But the problem is we can see and still forget. So here is my second suggestion. Take note. How many scoops of ice cream were there on that cone? Can you remember? Were there chocolate chips and cherry? Did you take a selfie with it? Why not print that photo and put it on your desk? Take note, write down what God has done for you. So here are my two suggestions. How we may escape spiritual forgetfulness. Slow down and take note. But this is meant to be a sermon. This is not meant to be a seminar. So we must go beyond human suggestions. We must hear the commands of the Lord. So instead of the human suggestion to slow down, which is quite a good suggestion, we must have the Lord's command, keep Sabbath. Stop your work and keep the Lord's day. Work 6 days and rest 1 day. Because this is God's ordinance to disrupt our rush lifestyle. Keep Sabbath is God's way to make us slow down. And unless we keep the Lord's Day, unless we intentionally, deliberately put away everything and be found with God's people to worship God and to recall His blessings, we can never truly do what Psalm 103 verse 2 calls us to do. So we do need to slow down, and we need to keep Sabbath. We need to keep the Lord's Day to remember all His benefits towards us. And instead of the human suggestion of take note, there's an even better command from the Lord. Take, eat. For at the Lord's Supper, we are reminded once more of who is Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. And it is always good to come to the Lord's table. It is always good to take, eat. Can our hearts not be filled with gratitude when you are reminded once again of who your Savior is? Who being in the form of God, make Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Can your mouth not be overflowing with thanksgiving when you recall and when you are reminded of how He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross? Yes, life can be very hard. But when we come to the Lord's table and our eyes are fixed on Christ, we are enabled by the grace of God to sing hymns of praise to God like Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Also, yearn for it, my dear friends. Desire strongly that you will be found in the Lord's house on the Lord's day and there to partake of the Lord's Supper. Why should we desire to do that? Well, I'm sure you know this hymn. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thy agony. Lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. And God's ordained way to lead us to Calvary is the Lord's Supper. Thanksgiving is largely missing in our life because of ACE. A stands for amnesia, C stands for confusion. Well, come back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not only are we commanded to give thanks, we are commanded to give thanks in everything. And the normal response is, how can we? Can I and should I thank God for cancer and for bereavement or for depression or for caught death? What about sin? How can I thank God when I sin? There we thank God for the evil consequences of sinful actions, like when a drunken driver knocks down and kills a child. Our moral sensitivities are violated, and so we are confused, and we keep our mouths shut. But dearly beloved, I'm sure you know that there is a confusion in the reading of this text. Our text says, in everything give thanks. Our text did not say, for everything, give thanks. There is a subtle, but there is a very important difference, isn't it? So you ask me, what is the point here? Well, let me ask James to help us out. Let me read what James had to say in James chapter 1, verse 2 to verse 4. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that a trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We do not give thanks to God for COVID-19, but we can give thanks to God in the pandemic. We can, because God is in control. We can, because God remains committed to work all things for our spiritual and eternal good. We can, because God will use that trial to test our faith, to produce patience in us, and to make us perfect. We don't give thanks for evil, but we thank God that He is working in us and using that evil for our good. Think of a tree that is growing. A tree that is growing well with leaves and with fruits. It looks strong, it looks healthy. It is. But then one day a terrible drought invades the land and the tree loses all its leaves and all its fruits. Many believe that this tree will just wither and die. But the tree did not die. Instead, something about the tree that is unseen to human eyes, the tree is growing from strength to strength. You see, the tree has roots. The depth of the roots determine the strength and the future of the tree. May I say that again? The depth of the roots determine the strength and the future of the tree. If the tree has shallow roots, it can easily be toppled in a storm, but a deep-rooted tree cannot be easily shaken. But how can a tree have deep roots? Well, during time of the drought, the tree will send its roots deep into the ground to look for water in order to survive. Now, trees don't do that if there is plenty of water around. But trees will do that when there is no water. In the same way, it is only during trials that our spiritual life is deepened. Put up your hand if you like trials. Nobody likes it. But it's only during trials that our spiritual life is deepened, so that in the coming days, our spiritual graces will flourish. So we don't give thanks for the trial, but we give thanks for what the trial will achieve in us by God's grace. In the hour of your deepest distress, we may need to just slow down and repeat this to ourselves. My God is taking me to where I do not want to go, in order to achieve in me what I could not attain on my own. And for this and in this, I can, I should, and I dare to give thanks. Thanksgiving is largely missing in our life because of ACE. E stands for entitlement. You go to a posh restaurant. You go there to eat an expensive meal. Or you go to what we call an atas hotel. And there you have your pricey staycation. How likely are you to say thank you to the service personnel? How tolerant will you be if you don't get what you expect? I pay for it. I'm entitled to first-class service. In fact, they owe it to me that they should serve me well, or else. I'm a Singaporean, you know. I complain. The spirit of entitlement is prevalent even today. In fact, there is a very high visibility of it nowadays. But before we go any further, let me again read the word of God to you, this time from Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Because there, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Or 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, it reads, let me read for you. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now those two passages in scripture, they are talking about unbelievers. Almost 99% of the time, they are not thankful to God for the good that they have. No, they believe that they have worked hard to get what they have today, and they deserve every bit of it. But when things go south, they turn on God. God, you're not supposed to let this happen to me. You should have prevented that tragedy from happening. Men in sin will usually behave like the posh restaurant customer or the atas hotel guest. It is something we expect. But tragically and truly, some believers are also infected with this virus as well. And so sometimes we hear Christians talk like that. I did what God said. I don't understand why I have all these pains and all these struggles. You know, I put God first. Why doesn't He bless me with a family? I serve God diligently and I serve God sacrificially. Why did God not stop my good cells from mutating into cancerous ones? Now, in one sense, they are all valid questions. But there is ever the danger that we somehow feel that God has shortchanged us, that we deserve better, and we begin to exhibit what is called the Lucifer spirit. What is the Lucifer spirit? It is to proclaim that I know better and I deserve better. And when pride and entitlement takes root in our hearts, gratitude and thanksgiving will surely be pushed out from our hearts. I'm a preacher. I'm not a farmer. I'm not even okay when it comes to gardening. But as I've been told, that concerning farming and gardening, that some plants just don't and can't grow together. For example, if you plant garlic and onions, your beans and your peas will not do well in the same plot of land. While cabbage and cauliflower will hurt your tomatoes, if you want your eggplants to flourish, don't plant black walnuts next to it. Well, that's what I was told. But I know that spiritually it is the same. If you want to be a grateful person, you need to uproot entitlement from your heart. Because pride and thanksgiving will not grow together on the same plot of land called your heart. So thanksgiving is largely missing in our life because of ACE. A stands for amnesia, C for confusion, and E for entitlement. Thank you for your patience. We are coming to the last point for this morning. Give thanks. It is not enough. Why do I say that? How could I say that? Well, let me explain that to you step by step, very quickly. Imagine after service this morning, you met someone at the door and someone said to you, I'm married. What will you say in response? Well, this is what I will say. Congrats. To whom? The question is very important. To whom? Because you must be married to someone. You can't be married to no one. Am I right? In the same way, when someone exclaims, "I am thankful," we should say, "Oh, that's wonderful." Because it's good to meet thankful people instead of toxic fault finders. So it's good, but it's not good enough. "I am thankful." "Oh, that's wonderful." To whom are you thankful? That is my question. While we are thankful for something, we must at the same time be thankful to someone. And ultimately, it must be God. Because James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights." So thank God for His good gifts. Do you? That's good. If you this morning you say, "Oh, I do thank God for His blessings." That's good. But it's not enough. Some of us, I think we sang the song earlier, "Count your blessings." Count your blessings, name them one by one. Oh, it's good to count your blessings and thank God. But I'll say something to you this morning. You can thank God with your mouth and hate God in your heart. You say, "How is that possible?" Well, there is an account in the Old Testament whereby Saul, King Saul, was thankful to David for showing him kindness and sparing his life. But that did not stop Saul from persecuting David and attempting to end the life of David. The same thing can be done by sinful men to the holy God. You can say thank you to God, because you can't deny, if you are an honest person, that He has blessed you. And yet when you say thank you, it is not because you love God, but because you love yourself. Because you say, "If I don't say thank you, next time no blessing. So better say." And that is what happens in Singapore. They will bring things to the temple because they say, "If I don't give this to the temple, the gods will not bless me." And there are people who can say, "I will thank God," but not because they love God. You can thank God with your mouth and continue to hate God in your heart. Which is why I say thanksgiving is not enough. Psalm 100 and verse 4 says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." Because of what is called Hebrew parallelism, thanksgiving is equivalent to praise. Be thankful to Him is the same as bless His name. In other words, according to the Bible, thanksgiving is not just part of praise. Thanksgiving is equivalent to praise. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if there are boys and girls here, give thanks to God ultimately means to praise God and to worship God. And the most reasonable way to worship God out of a thankful heart is what Romans 12 verse 1 says, whereby we present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service or our reasonable worship. And so the call to thanksgiving ultimately is a call for you to worship God. But we can only begin to worship God if we first of all own up to our sins and we bend our knees to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can only begin to worship God after we have been reconciled to God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, Isaac Watts, the hymn writer, was right when he wrote, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would He devote that sacred hay for such a worm as I. It is only when our eyes are open and ultimately we begin to see what Christ has done on the cross. And not on the cross for just for nobody, but for sinner like me. That I begin to have a thankful heart to Christ, because I begin to worship this Savior who so loved me. And the response ultimately is not just a word of thank you, but like what Isaac Watts says, but drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. So here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. So I end the sermon this morning by calling you to look at Calvary and give thanks. Look to the one who gave himself for you if you are a believer. And now give thanks to this God by giving your whole life back to him. But if this morning you are here and you're not a believer, you understood the usefulness of giving thanks, but you have never been reconciled to this God in and through Jesus Christ, I urge you right now, before the year ends, that you will come to this Savior. There is no reason why you should keep the Savior at arm's length. There is no reason why you should enter 2025, still an enemy of God. Come to Jesus today. Be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And be truly a thankful person. Because one who is truly thankful is one who worships this God and gives his life back to God. It's because God in Christ has first given himself to you. Let me end with a brief word of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that your word will be taken by the Spirit of God and burn it deep in our hearts. That this morning as we walk out of this place, it is not a case where academically we have been informed, but we pray that by your Spirit our life will be transformed, that we would seek to respond to your word in a way that your Spirit will desire that we should do. So bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.